Today's shiur is Masech Techul and Daf Samech Tes, and we will begin on Daf Samech Ches Amid Beis, 10 lines from the bottom, B'Rova Mas Nohocha. In our previous shiur, we had learnt the Mishnah and the Gemara. The Mishnah had taught us the halacha of Ben Bekua, that if a fetus is found in the womb of its mother, when we do the shechita on the mother, the shechita will be effective for the child as well. And the Mishnah discussed what is the halacha if this fetus extended a leg, an arm. And Rav, in explaining the Mishnah, said that then the halacha will be that the leg or the arm that were extended, whether if they remained outside of the womb or went back into the womb before the shechita, the halacha is that the shechita of the mother will only be effective for the rest of the fetus, but it will not be effective for that leg or arm that were extended. The Gemara brought a number of challenges to this opinion, but that was the final opinion of the Gemara. The Gemara then quoted the opinion of Ulam Rav Yochanan that seemed to disagree and holds that if it extended an arm or leg and brought it back in prior to the shechita would be effective even for that extended, for that previously extended leg or arm. But then the Gemara actually refuted Rav Yochanan's opinion and said the Rav opinion is correct based on a braisa. Now the Gemara quotes, and we're first going to learn the Gemara the way Rashi explains the Gemara. The Gemara first quotes a different version of this discussion. Says the Gemara, "By my Rav Mas Nahachi, and as a soul they learned it in the following way: Rav Ami Yesh Lei De Lavarim, Rav Yochanan Ami Ein Lei De Lavarim." The way to look at it is, if a limb extended from the animal, is that limb considered having been born, or is it not having been considered being born? So says the Gemara, "My Benayu." And according to Rashi, the Gemara's question is in Rav, that the Gemara has now quoted two different ways of how Rav expressed his opinion that if the animal extends its hand or leg, that hand or leg becomes usur. In the previous shiur, the Gemara just said that it's usur. In today's shiur, the Gemara used the words yesh lei de levarim or ein lei de levarim. And according to Rashi, the Gemara wants to know, my benayu, what is the nafkamina between these two ways the Rav's opinion has been expressed? Answers the Gemara, "Ik v'nayu l'meisa mi'it evar shebefnim." What would be that situation if most of the leg or the arm were extended, but part of the leg or the arm remained in the womb? According to the way Rav's opinion was expressed in the previous year, then the part that's outside is usur, and the part that's inside is mutter. That's the way it was expressed in the previous year. But according to the way it's being expressed in today's year, it's being expressed in terms of later birth, and therefore the halacha will be that if most of the limb extended, and there is indeed part of the limb still inside the animal, since that minimal amount follows the majority amount, and the majority was outside, then even the part of the limb that remained inside will also be considered usur. Actually, the Tzlach makes an observation, what would be the halacha the other way around, where most of the limb remained inside, and part of the limb was outside. So again, according to the way the Gemara said yesterday, the halacha ought to be that we follow the whatever is outside, whatever is inside. But according to the way the Gemara is expressing itself today, yesh lei delevarim or ein lei delevarim, the halacha ought to be suggested slach, that since most of the limb is still inside the womb, that even the part that's outside, the smaller part that's outside, should not be considered having been extended and should be mutter. But the tzlach says that even though on a logical level what he's saying makes a lot of sense, but it actually of course represents a kula that we have no right to say unless the Gemara says, and therefore he says this vart la halacha v'loy l'maisa. This is the way that we just explained, Rashi explains the Gemara. However, there are most Rishonim are very dissatisfied with following this approach in understanding the Gemara, because they explain that this approach seems to understand Rashi's approach, that Rabbi Yochanan still is following his original opinion that the leg or arm that were extended and went back in become mutter. And we, as we said in our introductory remarks, know that the Gemara says that that isn't actually true, and that the halacha is that even Rabbi Yochanan, based on the refutation we learned in the previous shiur, ultimately agreed with Rav. And therefore they explained the Gemara as follows. Rav and Rabbi Yochanan both agree at this point that the halacha is that the limb that extends is asur. And the Gemara's question is there any nafkamina in halacha between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan? To which the Gemara replies, yes, there is a nafkamina, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha will be that only the actual part of the limb that extended outside will be asur. The part that didn't extend outside will remain mutter. And Rav will hold that not only the part of the limb that went outside is certainly asur, but even the rest of the limb that remained inside is considered having been part of that limb and will remain asur as well. Continues the Gemara. Ibayluhu. And again, we will learn the Gemara as Rashi learns the Gemara. Ibayluhu. L'divrei ha'omer ein lei delevarim. According to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, ha'itzia uber es yadav echzira. If an uber stuck out its hand and then put it back in, because of a haiti is yadav echzira, and then it stuck out a different hand and stuck and put it back in, ach shlim melirubay. And we combine all of these events, right of the animal has, right of the fetus has been extended outside of the womb. Ma aminim. Ma, what is the halacha? Mi aminim hanafik leruba. We combine all of these events that occurred, and if we combine all of these events that occurred, rive of the fetus has emerged, and therefore the halacha would be that we can't eat the fetus based on the shechita of its mother. Idilma, what do we say? That Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that kim is a hadar. It went back in, and therefore it doesn't make a difference that there were these separate events. Interesting point that the Paiske make, and we've discussed this halacha concept. The halacha is that we say Rubik Akulai in halacha. But even though the halacha is that we say Rubik Akulai, point out the Paiske, we only say Rubik Akulai if we have the Kulai. The example we use is Kiddush. The halacha is you only have to drink most of the cup or most of the revius. But that doesn't mean you could start with Roiv. You have to have the entire amount, and then Roiv is adequate. But here, point out the Paiskim, we find a very interesting thing. That we're relying on Roiv, even though the entire Roiv is not together. The parts that are inside and the parts that are outside, and we're still applying the concept of Roiv. Continues the Gemara. Im temtzulai mekimin da hadar. If we're going to suggest that since it went back in. Therefore, we don't, since it went back in, we don't consider it born. What would be the halacha, asked the Gemara, Haitse ubes yod v'chotcha, if he cut off the limb, v'chaz of a haitse yod v'chotcha, atche shlim l'ruba. So here, it isn't just that it stuck out a hand or a leg, and then brought it back in, but it actually was cut off, atche shlim l'ruba. And now we have roif, mahu. What will we say now? Ha, ha nafak l'ruba. Certainly here, roif came out. Adilma, Ruba bas achas pina. And as Rabbi Kiva Eger explains the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva Eger explains that the Gemara's question here is that even that the question of the Gemara now is not only according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, but not a Gemara's question is according to Rav. The Rav says that what went out is considered out. So the question is, do we combine all of the various limbs that went out to be and to accomplish roif? And as Rabbi Kiva Eger goes on to say, there is actually, he suggests, a reason to treat this case more leniently than we treated the previous question of the Gemara. For he says, in this case, every limb has been cut off, and it's been cut off separately. Since it's been cut off separately, there's reason to argue that each act should be viewed independently. And since there's reason to argue that each act should be viewed independently, therefore we can't have a roif. Whereas, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, in the previous case that we discussed, where it wasn't cut off separately, rather, we went back in, and all the limbs are together. There, perhaps, we could combine all of the halacha of all of the limbs. And since we could combine the halacha of all of the limbs, we should be able to apply the concept of roif. Toshma, says the Gemara Zeklav. The Mishnah said, Davish gufoi asur, v'shein gufoi mutar. The Mishnah, as it was summarizing the dinim that we learned in the Mishnah, said as follows, that if part of the animal was detached, the Mishnah spoke about the spleen or the kidneys that were detached. So the Mishnah said that the halacha then is that the animal, and then the animals slaughtered, we're allowed to eat the animal, but we're not allowed to eat the spleen or the kidney. However, the Mishnah said that let's say the uber that's in the animal was part of it was detached, we're allowed to eat the rest, that entire uber, even the part that was detached from the fetus. Davar shegufa, part of the animal that was detached is asur, v'she'en gufa, but that's not what's part of the animal's mutter. And the question is, whatever the Mishnah mentions a summary at the end, azeh klal, the Mishnah is coming to teach us something that we wouldn't have known otherwise. She'en gufa l'suyimai, Lav l'suyah gavna. It's coming to teach us this case where we cut piece by piece, and the Mishnah teaches us that even though so many pieces of the animal have been cut off, what's still inside is still inside. So again, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, why is the Gemara assuming that we're coming to answer the second question more than we're assuming that we're coming to answer the first question that we learned in this series of these two questions? Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, since the first question is only a question according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, as we explained, but the second question is a question even according to the opinion of Rav, so we're going to say that the Mishnah is coming to speak about the first case, we will still have the dilemma we're faced that, and according to Rav, what is the point of the Mishnah saying it? It must be, therefore, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, that the Mishnah is coming to speak about the second case. And since the Mishnah is speaking about the second case, which is a question even according to Rav, therefore, we assume that it's coming to answer that question. But goes on, Rabbi Kiva Eger now to make a very important comment. Once
the second question is answered, as the Gemara says, once we assume that in the second case, where the parts of the animal were actually literally cut off, and it's most of the animal that happened to, we're still saying what was cut, what's inside remains mutter. Certainly, the Gemara will hold, the Mishnah will hold, says Rav Kivegan, explaining the Gemara, that what in the first case, where the parts of the animal are actually where the parts are actually inside still, what's inside, what was never outside will be mutter. Says the Gemara, that isn't what the Mishnah is coming to speak about. The Mishnah is coming to speak about kolot b'nei parah, and we discussed this in our previous shiur, that you could have a mother that's completely kosher, but his child doesn't have split hoofs. V'aliv Rav Shimon, and our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rav Shimon, the Avgav, the Amr of Shimon, even though it is the opinion of Rav Shimon, can call it Ben-Parah's also, that if a child that was born to a kosher mother, but that child doesn't have the simonim of a kosher animal, that child is not kosher, says our Mishnah, Hanimili, when is that the halacha? Heichid yotzlavir oilam, when it was actually born. If it remains in its mother's womb, the Mishnah will teach us that even though it doesn't have the simonim of a kosher animal, shari its mutter. Our Gemara continues asking a question, and the way we're going to frame the Gemara, the Ezer Hashem Yisbara, is as the Achroidim help us understand the Gemara. And the Achroidim say, what the Gemara's question now is as follows. If we think about Rav's opinion, we come to the understanding that Rav is a very big machmer. Because Rav is telling us that if an animal stuck out a limb and put it back in, if the fetus stuck out a limb and put it back in before the Shemitah, the halacha will be that animal is still not, that limb may not be eaten. And the reason why this is such a hard opinion to understand, explain the Achronim, is because, let's think about it. We have every reason, actually, to be lenient. Firstly, we're referring here to a situation where most of the animal was always inside. And in a halacha, we know that we always follow the rav. That's one reason to be lenient. Furthermore, the limb is actually back inside the mother before the shechita. So there's every reason to take a lenient opinion. Yet, Rav, based on the psukim that we learned in the previous year, and I'm going to speak about those psukim in a second, takes the opinion that we have to be machmer. Why did Rav take that strict opinion? So as we explained, because the basis of Rav's opinion is because the Torah HaKadosh says, Ubasar basada treifa, something that goes out of its mechitza, something that goes out of the place where it's supposed to be, the halacha is, becomes considered non-kosher. So now, again, as we're learning the Gemara now, the Gemara asks a very powerful question. If there's going to be, perhaps, we'll be able to find a different mechitza in halacha, maybe that should change the opinion of Rav. And we know, and as we discussed so many times when we learned Masechta Zvachim and Menachos, that the walls of the Azara have very significant meaning in halacha. And therefore, ask the Gemara by Rav Chananya, Haitzi uber es yada ba'azara. If the uber stuck out its hand outside of the fetus in the Azara, mahu. So now, the walls of the Azara, as I just said a moment ago, are considered a mechitza. So now the question is it considered a mechitza for this halacha that we discussed as well? Mahu. What do we say? Migli to have a mechitza. Since it's considered a mechitza as far as Hilchos Kachim are concerned, have a namel gabe dahai, it will be a mechitza regarding this leg that came out of the womb, and that the halacha will be, as long as that leg went back in before the shechita, the halacha should be that we should be lenient. Idilma, or perhaps is, the gabe dahai la mechitzahi. As far as the halacha of ben beku is concerned, that isn't the factor. Because as far as Hilchos Ben Beku are concerned, the mechitzas uber, the mechitzah that we look at, imahi, is the mother. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Gemara's question is regarding a Karban Shlomim. For they explain, all other Kabbanas come from male. And since they come from male, there wouldn't be any discussion that they're not what we're discussing. So it must be that we're talking about a carbon, and the only carbonus that could come from female are carbon chatos and carbon shlomim. Now by carbon chatos, clearly the halacha is that the child follows, the child is not, it has to be put to death, as we learned many times. So we're talking about a carbon shlomim, and the Gemara is suggesting that perhaps in this situation, the halacha ought to be that it's mutter. That the halacha should be that even Rab will agree that if it sticks out its leg and then brings its leg back in, we should take a lenient approach. Amalei Abaye. So Abaye says, if this is going to be the way you're asking the question, and as we said, and you're asking a question regarding a carbon shlomim, then we can ask even a more potent question. Because we know that when we speak about a carbon shlomim, not only are the walls of the azara a factor to be spoken about, because halacha is the shechita of the carbon has to take place in the azara, but when we speak about kachim kalim, when we speak about shlomim, the walls of Yerushalayim are also a factor, because we know that the carbon shlomim has to be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. And therefore says Abaye, "V'tibar lach kachim kalim Yerushalayim." What will be the halacha by carbon shlomim Yerushalayim? That if they stuck out its leg from the womb while it's still in Yerushalayim, and then put back that limb before the shechita, the halacha should be that even Rav would agree that the shechita will be effective not only on the rest of the fetus, but even on the leg as well. Says the Gemara, Kachim kalim Yerushalayim, my tamloi kabaylach. Why did you not ask this question? Because it's obvious that even though Yerushalayim has some relevance when we speak about Kabbanis, it has nothing to do with the halacha that we're discussing in today's shir about Pekua, about Ben Pekua. Because as far as Ben Pekua is concerned, what's relevant to look at is the womb of the mother and nothing else. The mechitzas uber imayhu. That's the only fact that contend. Hachinami, mechitzas uber imayhu. It's the mother that makes the difference, not Yerushalayim, nor the walls of the Azar. Ask the Gemara another question. Bari Ilfa. Haitzi v'res yodei ben simen l'simen. As we've discussed earlier in our Masechta, every shechita actually serves two purposes. The purpose that we all can relate to is that when we shech the animal, we can now eat from its meat. But as we've also discussed many times, the shechita also accomplishes that the animal should not have tumas nevelim. So ask the Gemara, Haitzu uberes yodoi ben simen l'simen, mahu, mi mitzdar simen rishon l'simen sheni, v'tar m'dei nevela eloi. What happened here was, the entire fetus was in the womb of its mother when we shechted the first simen, and then it stuck out a limb before the shechita of the second simen. So if we look at the shechita at the cutting of these two simonim, if we analyze this situation, we'll come to the following analysis. What the shechita of the first simon accomplishes is not the exact same as what the shechita of the second simon accomplishes. Why? The shechita of the first simon accomplished two things. It accomplished that you could eat the entire fetus,
and that fetus, when that, and the mother, that you could eat the entire mother and fetus actually, and accomplished that this mother and fetus would not have tumas nevela. If we look at the shechita, at the cutting of the second siman, it didn't accomplish the exact same thing. Because since it stuck out its leg prior to the shechita of the second siman, so that leg may not have tumas nevela, but it won't be allowed to be eaten, as we're learning. And the Gemara's question is, when the shechita of the two simonim don't accomplish the exact same thing, perhaps the halacha should be that those two acts of cutting cannot combine, and therefore they should be considered a totally invalid shechita. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava,
Kav Chaimer. I'll bring you Kav Chaimer how to answer this question. Im Hayolai Siman Rishon Siman Sheni Latir Bechila. If in this case that the two simonim do combine for allowing to eat the mother and the fetus besides the leg that got emerged, it certainly accomplishes much more. Being able to eat is a very powerful act, and since we combine them for that, we certainly ought to combine them for this as well. And just to review, we use this Gemara to answer this question on Daf Lamed Gimel on the Beis, where the Gemara discussed if the stomach, the name I informed the hole between the shechita of the first siman and the second siman, could the shechita of these two simanim combine? And there too we learned, based on this svara, that they can. Ask the Gemara, by Rabbi Yemiya, Ma halachos lazara? What will be a halacha, asks Rabbi Yemiya, regarding the child of a animal, of a fetus, that stuck out its limb before the mother's shechita? What will be the halacha regarding the child? And the Gemara explains what is in me. Hey chidami, exactly what is the question? Ilema the ozel abahema ma'alisa. So we have here an animal, we have here every child is the result of two parents. One parent is a ben bekua, and the ben bekua is minus the hand or leg that it stuck out, and the other parent is a regular animal. Now it's important to point out that not only is a ben bekua exempt from shechita, but even its offspring are exempt from shechita. So ask the Gemara, my iri haidi is beyotze. If that's the situation, then one parent is a ben bekua and one parent is not a ben bekua, then why do we have to speak about this interesting situation that it's not a real regular ben bekua, it's a ben bekua with a prohibited limb? Well, you could ask a simple question. I feel ben bekua the almanami. A regular situation where we have an animal born to two parents. One is a ben bekua, and one is not ben bekua. Dom Reb Mishashia, Reb Mishashia's opinion is in Hilchis Oisav Espinoi, the Divrei Oy Mechoshim Zera'av, that by animals we do take the father into consideration, because there's a machlokes, as we'll learn, if by animals we only consider the mother as a parent and we don't look at the father, or do we look at the father as well? Ben bekua ba behema ma'al yisa, it will have a regular situation where one parent is ben bekua and one is not, havlad elay takana, because one parent is ben bekua that doesn't have a chiyuv shechita, and one parent is a parent that does require shechita. And there's a machlokes rishonim how to look at this situation, how to apilam this, look at the situation. Do we look at it as we just said, that the definition of shechita is that you have to cut two simonim, and here we have a situation where one parent has a chiyuv shechita and one parent doesn't have a chiyuv shechita, so it's like one simon was already slaughtered and now we're coming to slaughter the second simon without having slaughtered the first siman first, and it's a situation of shia. That's one way the Rishonim look at it. Another way that the Rishonim look at the situation is it's if every siman I'm only shechting half a siman. And we know, as we've learned extensively earlier in our Masechta, that for a shechita to be considered a valid shechita, you have to shech the entire siman. And that's why this situation, it will not be considered a valid shechita. The Rishonim and Achronim go on to discuss the why is this not a situation of zeh v'zeh goyim. In Halacha, there's a concept of zeh v'zeh goyim, that if something is created by something that's mutter and something that's asur, it's considered zeh v'zeh goyim. So here too, why is this not considered a situation of zeh v'zeh goyim? So I saw two explanations. One explanation is that zeh v'zeh goyim is said when we have something that's mutter and we have something that's asur, and these two different disparate factors, one being mutter and one being asur, combined. So there is a shaila, do we say zeh v'zeh goyim, or do we have a special kula of zeh v'zeh goyim? However, here we're now referring to a situation explained the Rishonim and Achronim of one thing being mutter and one thing being asur. Rather, both things are mutter. There's a special question: is there a chiyuv shechita or is there not a chiyuv shechita? That is not considered a situation of zeh v'zeh goyim. That's one approach. Another approach that I saw, and it goes back to the issue that we discussed in our previous year, is that whenever we speak, as we said in our previous year, about Ben Pekua and the Chiyuv Shechita, we're not discussing Isser or Heter. We're discussing, is this an animal that has a Chiyuv Shechita, or is this an animal that doesn't have a Chiyuv Shechita? I go back to something that I mentioned in the previous year. Because in the previous year, I mentioned that there's a question how to look at the exemption of Ben Pekua. Do we say that it's mutter based on its mother Shechita? Or do we say that the Torah teaches us that a Ben Pekua is not an animal that requires Shechita? The Achronim suggests that zeh v'zeh goyim would be an effective factor here. It would be something to contend with if we say that the shechita of the mother is effective for the child. But that's not the way to look at Ben Pekua, suggests the Achronim. Rather, suggests the Achronim, the way to look at Ben Pekua is to look at it as if, the way to look at Ben Pekua is to look at it as, is it or is it not Mechuyiv in Shechita? Is it this kind of animal or not? And that has nothing to do with the issue of zeh v'zeh goyim. Says the Gemara. So what is the case that Rav Yirmi is referring to? Says the Gemara, like Tzricha, Gazal ben Bekua, the Kabbalah said. We're referring here to a situation where both parents are ben Bekuas. And here we have again a machlokes. If both parents, or one parent, is a ben pekua with a limb that doesn't have the heter of ben pekua. Some Rishonim explain that the Gemara is referring to a situation that both parents have this circumstance, and some Rishonim explain that one parent has this circumstance. Loi tzricha de ozel a ben pekua de kavasei. Now, why do we say aver moilet aver, that each limb is connected to the limb of its parent? So yes, the two parents of Ben Pekuas, we'll learn the Gemara simple, that both parents of Ben Pekuas, and both parents have the same limb that is not included in the Ben Pekua Heter because it emerged before the Shechita. And therefore, when we look at the child, the same will be in the child, that all of the child will be considered Ben Pekua, except for that corresponding limb. Do we say mevalbul zari? We say that the father's seed is commingled in every part of the. The father's seed is commingled in every part of the child, and therefore the limb that doesn't have the ben bekuas heter is in the permeates the entire body of the child, and the same for the mother, and therefore the entire child will not have the heter of ben bekuah. Hadama, then he said, pshitetz avis the mevalbozari, that this it goes into the entire child. Dimkain, if we're going to say the limbs of children are connected directly to the limbs of the parents, then the fact should be that suma yoyelet suma, a blind parent should have a blind child, or kiteya yoyelet kiteya, a blind father should have a blind child. El pshita, the mevalbozari, certainly it permeates the entire child. And therefore the question is like this. The truth is that every animal that comes from its parent, and every parent has in it chaylev, and every parent has in it dam, that are all usher, and they contribute to the creation of the child, that, and yet the child is mutter to be eaten, otherwise you can never eat any animal. It shouldn't make a difference. That if there's a concern that the chaylev and the dam created the child, so the Torah says not to be concerned with that. Plus, but when there are three factors to consider, chaylev, dam, and this limb, that we are concerned about. The Paiskim say we're not worried about Gidan Asha, because the Gidan Asha doesn't give any time. Ask the Gemara, I need to understand this question. The Gemara drills down. Laman. Either Rameya, if we're going to say that this question is following the opinion of Rameya, indeed according to Rameya, Issachel v'dam Mika, the Issachel v'dam in this child, but Issachel, because according to the opinion of Rameya, the halacha is that there's no din of a ben pekuah. He holds that if a fully developed offspring is in a mother, you'll have to shech the ben pekuah. The question can be going to Rameya. Ilar Yehuda, that does say that there is a heter ben pekuah, is a yaitzik, and therefore looking at this limb that protruded is a factor, is a chel of a dam, like there is no is a chel of a dam. The Tanya, gira nosha, Noi Bishlil. The Giran Nasha applies even by a fetus, the Chelba Osir, and the Chel of a Giran Nasha of a fetus is also the Rameya. You don't have any Noi Bishlil, the Chelba Mutter. Therefore, he doesn't consider, he doesn't, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Chelif is not a factor, because this Chelif is Mutter the Chelif. So this entire line of reasoning doesn't work. Says the Gemara, El Kom Kayach Lamin in the Shari. Certainly, anything that was produced by something that's Asur, the halacha is that doesn't carry over further. And therefore, in this case, the offspring will be Mutter. Rav Kami Baylam. Rather, what is the question here? Ma'alav Moyes Chelvoi. The halacha is, will be allowed to drink the milk of this ben pekuah that has in it most of the fetus is mutter, but the hand is usher because it protruded before the shechita. What is the question? Chol of the alma loif kachay menachay dam mivishari. Every milk should be considered Eva Menachai. Yet it's Mutter. Hachinami lo shna. Adoma, why are we lenient with milk? Hasam is like the kanti l'sur b'shchita. Because the animal could be slaughtered. Hacha, but this ben bekuah, the ben bekuah can't be slaughtered. It doesn't require shchita. And the limb that sticks out, shchita of the mother won't be helpful for it because it's a meaningless shchita. Hacha less like the kanti l'sur b'shchita. And therefore, the milk of this ben pekuah will not be mutter, and the mother remains with a tekel. In other words, there's a number of ways of understanding the Gemara's questions. Some explain that the Gemara's question is that the only time we say that there's no problem with, as we explained, the only time we say there's no problem with Eivim Menachai by milk is by milk of an Eivim Menachai that has Shechita. Here there's no Shechita, so the Issur Eivim Menachai remains. Another way is, how do we understand this Issur? Goes back to something we discussed yesterday. Do we understand the Issur of the limb sticking out as an Issur Eivim Menachai? And Eivim Menachai is not a factor when we speak about milk, as we discussed in the previous year. Or maybe the Issur of the limb sticking out is an Issur Treifa, and the milk of a Treifa is Issur. The Achronim have a very interesting discussion here. We know that if a drop of non-kosher milk falls in to more than shishim of kosher milk, that non-kosher milk will become batel b'shishim. So ask the Achronim, what would be the halacha in the case that we're discussing, where we have the ben b'kua with the prohibited limb, but the limb is less than shishim of the entire ben b'kua? So even if we're concerned with the milk that's produced by this limb, that milk is less than shishim of the entire mixture. What will be the halacha? The Bach indeed says that if this prohibited limb is less than shishim of the entire ben b'kua, the milk will be mutter. The preacher takes a different approach. The preacher says that milk is indeed created by an animal, but we have no way of knowing which parts of the animal are more involved in the production of the milk. And it could be that even though the limb, when we look at it, is less than shishim of the entire ben b'kua, says the preacher, but maybe that limb, when it comes to the production of milk, takes a more important role, and it is more than shishim. And since there's no way of knowing, we have to be machmir. The Mishnah Melech quotes Mordechai. He says that when can we apply the concept of bittul? Only when we have separate entities, the case that we gave, non-kosher milk, a kosher milk, and a drop of the non-kosher milk fell into the kosher milk. But in a situation where we have one entity from the beginning, one ben b'kua, with the limb that's us and the rest that's mutter, so there we can't put in the concept, we can't apply the concept of bittul. Because if it was mixed together, says the Mordechai, mitchilas b'riyasai, from its very inception, we don't apply the concept of bittul. So the Mishnah said, chaytech me'uba, if somebody cuts off a fetus that's in an animal's womb, so we learned that even the part that was cut off from the mother is still mutter from the mother, from the fetus, could be eaten together with the rest of the fetus. Manola, how do we know this halacha? Says the Gemara, the pasuk says, "V'chol mafres es parsa, v'behema behema, the rabbis is a vlad," to teach us that the entire vlad is mutter. Ask the Gemara, what are we saying? That the Torah uses the words, and it's important to say, to read the pasuk, "Chol behema mafres es parsa v'shusah shesi." The Torah used the word behema b'behema to say that the animal found in another animal becomes mutter with the shechita of the mother. Ask the Gemara, if this animal, this uber, this fetus, the Torah calls it a behema, ask the Gemara, after that, what should be yamirba? We know the Torah Kedosha says that you're not allowed to substitute an animal that's kodesh, you're not allowed to substitute another animal for it. However, says the Torah, "Bimhama yom behema behema." If you do so, for ha yehus marasu yir kodesh. The Mishnah in Masechta Temurah teaches us, ask the Gemara, "Eim amirim lo yevarim be ubrim." by substituting limbs for fetuses, v'loy uvrim be'evrin, v'loy evrim v'uvrim b'shleimim, v'loy shleimim behem. You can't use an uber. An uber is not considered a behema, and therefore tamura would not be effective. Why? We just said that the uber is considered a behema. And therefore, changes the Gemara its explanation. Elam akrav v'cho behema, not that the uber is considered a behema, rather because the Torah uses the words v'cho behema, l'rabbis as a vlad, to teach us that the vlad, the pasuk says v'cho behema mafres pasuk, that the behema, that the vlad is included in the shechita of the mother. V'hachi, ask the Gemara, if that's the case, then the halacha should be afilu chaytim in a kcholim in a kloyus nami. You cut off part of the mother, the halacha should be that it's mutter v'cho behema, anything that's in the mother. Yet we learned in our Mishnah, we quoted it earlier in our Shir, if you cut a part of the fetus, you could, and then you shech the mother, you could eat all of the fetus. But if you cut off the tchol or klayus, you may not eat them. Amakra, answers the Gemar Oysa, shleima v'loy chsayra. You can only eat the mother when it's whole, but the parts that were cut off, the Torah says a special halacha, they're not mutter through the shechita of the animal. Elam ata, ask the Gemara, if we're saying that the Torah says v'cho behema, and it includes anything found in the feed, in the mother, the halacha ought to be, hashoich lesa behema motzba demus yoina, if somebody shechs an animal, and finds in it something that looks like a dove, tishtri, alom amar Rabbi Yochanan, hashoich lesa behema motzba demus yoina, osa b'achila. But why? Why don't we apply the concept v'cho behema? Answers the Gemara, be in a process for leka. We need that the fetus should have hooves, and if it looks like a bird, it doesn't have hooves. Ask the Gemara, l'ma'ato, kol b'mei paralitza. So then the halacha is if the fetus doesn't have split hooves, it looks like an animal, but it doesn't have split hooves, it should be aser. Answers the Gemara, through logic you will be right, but hatanu be'er v'shmol k'rav shim ben yichoy, prosu v'heim t'chelu, we quoted this in the previous year, that the special halacha, that as long as it has hooves, it looks like an animal, even though it doesn't have split hooves, it's permissible. But if it looks like a dove, it's not permissible. What it means that it looks like a dove, so most we shouldn't explain, we have to look at what it looks like. If it looks like an animal, it's mutter, and if it looks like a dove, it's usser, and the hooves play no role. Other Rishonim, however, explain as follows. They take the opinion that everything depends on the hooves. And they'll say that indeed an animal that has no hoof at all will be usser. And on the other hand, if it looks like a bird, but it does have hooves, it'll be mutter. We go back to our original explanation. The why is a fetus found in the mother mutter? Because we say we use the pasuk behema be behema. But what was our question? That if that is the way to learn, and that the child in the mother is considered a behema, so we asked the kokashlo from the Mishnah Masechta Tumah that says amemirim. Why not? It should be considered a behema, and tumura should be effective. Answers the Gemara Hamani. This opinion that you can't of the Mishnah Tamura is found in the opinion of Shimon, the Makish Tamura Lamaisa. We know that every tenth animal has to be designated as a Maisa, as Maisa Behema. A Maisa is not Noi Beivorim V'Ubrim, Af Tamura Ein Anahegis Beivorim V'Ubrim. Says the Gemara, what makes me say that that Mishnah follows the opinion of Shimon? As the Mefarshim explained, that Mishnah is a Stam Mishnah. And the Stam Mishnah usually is Rameya, not Rav Shimon. Says the Gemara, I'll bring the Raya, that's Rav Shimon. The Tana. I'm Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi disagreed. And Rav Yossi said that Tamura should be affected by Avram and Ubrim. And he said the following Svara. V'loibim Abdoshim. When we speak about being Magdish an animal, Da'alok is Ha'oimah Raglish Shazu Oilo. If somebody only says that the leg of an animal should be an Oilo, Da'alok is Kula'im. The entire animal becomes an oilo. Af kashyoyma, therefore says Rabbi Yossi, if somebody says regal shazu tachasu, take kula tumura tachta, it should be an effective case of tumura. Says the Gemara, Rav Yossi was speaking to the Tanakhama of that Mishnah that was saying that it's not an effect of Tamura by an Aver, and he's giving a reasoning why it should be. Says the Mamaka Mahadalai, who is Rav Yossi speaking to? Elaine Lerameh Rav Yehuda, if we say speaking to Rameh Rav Yehuda, Mias Leila Haisfar, do Rameh Rav Yehuda agree with this halacha, Batanya? Yachol, Haim Raglish Azu Oila, one would think if somebody says that the leg of an animal should be an Oila, that the entire animal should be an oila, take kula oila. Tam lam kala shiitim emenu l'ashem yakaydish. The man of kaydish, b'loi kula kaydish. That if somebody designates part of an animal, and as the Gemara Masechta Tumura says, it has to be the part that's not shenashem t'luibo, not a vital organ that the life of the animal depends on. Yoko teitz l'chulin, and the leg is the best example. Yoko teitz l'chulin, we would think that that animal is totally chulin, that it does have a state of Kedusha. Okay, but it's not completely Kadosh. What should be done? This animal, since only its leg is Kadosh, should be sold to somebody who has to bring a carbon oila, and the proceeds are chulin, except for the value of that leg. Rav Yosef Shimon Oimer, Menayim Loimer Raglus Hazu Oila Te Kula Oila, Tam Loimer Yeh LeRabbis Hazu Kula. So now, Rav Yosef was making an argument that since when one is Magdish just an Aver, and the entire carbon, the entire animal becomes Kadosh, so too the Tamura of an Aver should be an effective Tamura. So who was Rav Yosef speaking to? Either Ramei Rav Yehuda, if he was speaking to Ramei Rav Yehuda, Mias Leila Haisvara, does he agree with this Svara? Do we just say that they don't agree with this Svara? He wasn't speaking to himself. Who was he addressing? Rav Shimon. So we see that it's Rav Shimon that holds that we see that it's Rav Shimon that holds only that it's not effective means of making a Tamura. The other Rabbanim will disagree. They don't compare Truma to Meiser. Why does Rav Shimon hold it's not an effective way of making Tamura? Because we compare Tamura to Meiser. And just like there's no Tamura by there's no Meiser by Avrim and by Ubrim, so too there's no Tamura. Everybody else will disagree with Rav Shimon. And therefore, we could well say that the animal, the fetus, is considered a behemoth. And indeed, the Tamura of an Uber is an effective Tamura. So Tamura, this proof is not conclusive. Well, Rav Yossi Tam Dinashi coming. Rav Yossi is saying that according to his Svara, he may be addressing Ramei and Rav Yehuda. And even though Ramei and Rav Yehuda disagree with him regarding the halacha of making an animal kadosh by just speaking about its leg, Rav Yossi was saying, according to my understanding of that halacha, a tamur should be effective by an aver and by extension by an uber. So we don't have any proof that the Tan of that Mishnah is Rav Shimon, and therefore we're not sure what is the reason why Tamura of a Uber is ineffective. Is it because he compares it to Maisa, or is it because it's not considered a behemoth? And what will be relevant to our sugya is what will be the reason why a fetus doesn't require Shita. Is it because behemoth of a behemoth, that the Uber is considered a behemoth, or is it because the chol, anything found in the mother, is exempt from shlita, but not to say that the fetus is considered a behemoth?